the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody. We're back. It's the Puck Guys, Patrick, Jason, and Eddie. We're doing our 31 and 30. We're on our second team of the Atlantic Division. Today's team is the Boston Bruins.
Let me hear your Boston accent.
Yeah, I
was. Oh, jeez. You guys put me on the spot. You know what I almost did when you said that?
What?
I almost did like a Crocodile Dundee or like some stupid Australian accent that I'm horrible at.
Just do like a Matt Damon. How do you like them apples?
I can't even do it. You're putting me on the spot. I can't do
just
it.
Just do the car keys.
Oh, gun shy.
Yeah, that's the easiest one. Yeah, car keys.
Yeah. When they wear those?
Give me the khakis so I could go to the potty.
No, so you got a tie, get khakis.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Yeah. So that's what we're doing. We're talking about accents and making fun of the way people speak.
Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, have a great night, everybody. Be sure to tip your waitress. We'll be back tomorrow.
They work for those tips.
Absolutely. But today is the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins.
There you go.
Damn. God damn.
All right, whatever.
You guys
just
threw
move
me
on.
Off. So now we got them to talk about. They finished last season just behind the good old Tampa Bay Lightning, which we talked about yesterday, at 112 points. They made it into the playoffs, clearly, but lost in the second round to the Bolts in five games. That was the series where I was like, these Tampa Bay Lightning guys are probably going to be in it to win it all this year. They just smoked right through the Bruins, who, in my opinion, and many others, had the best line in hockey last year, and possibly the same thing this year if they were able to replicate what they did last season. But they had some additions to the team. And, yes, I know I said Chris Wagner was on the Islanders when we did that one. My bad. Everybody who listened and complained. I know Jason told me.
It was just me.
It was just Jason. Everyone listening is going to write me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But the additions to this team, John Moore, Joachim Nordstrom, Yaroslav Halak. Oh, thank God they brought in a backup goaltender. And then Chris Wagner is on the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Departures this year. We haven't heard anything from Rick Nash. Concussion problems. Yeah, he made the playoff run with them, but he looks like all signs are pointing him hanging the skates up. Riley Nash, which is an important piece on this team, put up 40 points. He's a good middle six forward. He's no longer here. Anton Khudobin, who I think is better, way better than Yaroslav Halak, is no longer on this team. Nick Holden, Brian Gionta, which, Jesus Christ, I didn't even know he was on that team on Boston. I didn't realize he was on there.
Steven Gionta?
Brian Gionta.
Oh,
and then that's it. Those are the notables that have left the team. This team is a lot better than I gave him credit for. But, Eddie, how do you feel about Boston going into the season?
I still think, like you said, they have the best line in hockey until proven otherwise. And Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak, I think they're still going to be the best line. You know, Pasternak and Marchand are going to put in the goals. Bergeron's going to be a guy who still puts up probably about 70, 80 points and is arguably the best two-way center in the league with him and Kopitar. And if Ryan Kessler was healthy, maybe he'd be in that discussion too. But they've got a lot of depth up front, and it's a lot of young kids that we only saw brief bits of last year. Jake DeBrusk, who made a big step forward and played almost a full season last year, is going to be in the top six for them. And Ryan Donato, who came in and surprised everybody, is going to have to take a big step forward, and he'll be a good middle six guy to replace Riley Nash, who left. And Danton Heinen, who again came out of their system and really surprised everybody with what he did. So I think they've got a lot of good young guys who could step in. And they made some decent additions, too. Chris Wagner's not a bad piece to have on your fourth line. We all know him from when he was with the Ducks, and pretty much everybody liked what he brought. And he plays that Bruins style of hockey as well. And then Joachim Nordstrom's another addition that they can throw onto their fourth line who plays a similar style. So I think up front, they're pretty good, and they've got a lot of depth down in Providence that can come up if any guys get injured. And then the blue line, I think, is what's going to be another huge step forward with them. Again, it's a lot of young guys, other than Zdeno Chara, who's now, I believe, 41. So he offsets
41.
The rest of the guys on this roster. He plays with Charlie McAvoy, who had a great year last year. Torrey Krug, still pretty young. Brendan Carlo. And I'm going to attempt this guy's name. I think it's Matt Grizzlick, I think. But he had a really good year, and he was one of the guys that the analytics people really liked last year because of the numbers he was putting up. And then throw John Moore into the mix, and I think they've got the makings of a really good blue line. And then Tuukka Rask, he's an all-star goalie. He'll do what he did last year. He'll be good again. And I think this is the makings of a division-winning team.
Yeah, I'd have to agree that this team is good. You'd think the young whippersnapper in Chara would have slowed down a little bit last couple of seasons. I mean, he's from his prime for sure, but I mean, at 41, the dude is still, he really is a force. Yeah, he makes little mistakes here and there, but he's still a guy you're not going to want to fight. You're not going to really want to battle in front of the net when you have to. So to have him up there, you know, playing injury free, hopefully, if that kind of goes. And then, you know, McAvoy is going to be awesome. He was awesome last year. You think he's going to be great again this year. Krug, great offensive threat, fourth on the team in points last year. So, you know, Carlo, all the way across the board. Yeah, if Rask, you know, slips a little bit, Halak's not necessarily a great backup, but I don't think they've ever really had to rely too much on their backup goalie to propel them anywhere. It's all about Tuukka Rask and what he's going to be able to do, and that top line is going to be good. Backus, we'll see what kind of happens with him. The right wing, you know, after Pasta, there's
it's a name pay.
Backus. Pretty much. Yeah. They did a Bolesky with him too. They paid a little bit too much to get his services, but even if he falters or he's injured, I think Chris Wagner, you know, knowing him from the Anaheim days, is someone that could step up on that second line and be productive.
That's a big ask.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an opportunity he's really gotten a whole lot of in his career, but, you know, in the games that we've seen him, he's got that Boston style. He's got that Backus type style of play to him, and I feel if you maybe surround him around a little bit better talent, you might see a little bit more of that offensive upside that has kind of been sheltered most of his career.
I mean, I think they're a little thin after the second line. That's the only really concerning thing on forward depth. But, I mean, they got the best line in hockey pretty much for my money. And Pasta's only going to, you know, do what he did last year, if not better. But I think the most concerning part of Boston for me is the goaltending. Tuukka Rask, subpar year, backup quality last season. We'll go to the playoffs. Horrible playoffs. I mean, he was almost at 900 for save percentage. And that's just not good enough. I mean, it's one thing to have your team kind of break down, you lose close games, but he didn't play well at all in the playoffs. I was really disappointed with Tuukka Rask, and then bringing in Yaroslav Halak. I mean, Jesus, Halak is just not the Halak we saw in Montreal years and years and years ago. Obviously, he just got destroyed with the Islanders, right?
Yeah.
And was unhappy about their 15 goalie carousel they constantly had going on there. So he leaves and goes, and now is in Boston, who's a much better team. But I'm not really happy if I'm looking at my goaltending, and I think that's something to be a little bit concerned about, unless Tuukka Rask is able to pull up his old form during his All-Star days, because he's just not getting it done.
I had two questions. One, Halak, when has he ever been really great? Wasn't he good with Montreal?
That was
that one playoff.
I mean, yeah. And in St. Louis, wasn't he decent in St. Louis?
Right,
yes, that's he was good. That's why I think he did. He go from Montreal to St. Louis, or St. Louis to Montreal?
No, he was in Montreal originally, first, and then went to St. Louis because he made a name for himself in the playoff and a playoff run. And then ultimately,
I'm asking the internet. One second.
Okay, you do.
He
that.
Was good in St. Louis though for a bit. Yeah.
It wasn't too terrible, but then he's bounced around. I think he went to didn't he go to San Jose?
I mean, his career save percentage is 916. Last season, it's just not been good. I feel like
acceleration.
Yeah, so he played Montreal, then went to St. Louis, and then went to Washington, and then went to the Islanders, and now he's in Boston. It's just, he's not had good years.
He's bouncing around, too.
I mean, his best years were definitely in Montreal, I would say. I mean, looking at his numbers right now, 919 save percentage in 4 years in Montreal. Islanders, he's looking at a 913. St. Louis, a 916. Those are all save percentages, by the way. So his best year was 12 games he played in Washington, where he had a 930 save percentage. Obviously, channeling Hasek at that point, right?
Yeah, that's interesting, because isn't that probably the only year where he's really been considered a backup? Every other team, he's really been the starter. So maybe as a backup, it's a lot less pressure and he can perform.
Yeah. You would think, I mean, maybe you're going to get a better Halak here in Boston, but I mean, look at Tuukka Rask's numbers. He hasn't been amazing. He just hasn't. And last year, honestly, I thought he was just a giant disappointment in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, everyone can have a bad playoff or a bad few seasons. Yes. So, but my other and most important question is, Eddie, can you say Ryan Donato again?
Ryan Donato.
I heard it the first time. You emphasized the A really hard. That's what made me laugh. So, all right. That's all I wanted to hear.
just wanted to trash.
Yeah, just wanted to out me on the podcast.
Yeah, because I heard Donato.
What a dick.
Do you also say tacos or tacos?
Tacos.
Ah, see, you're weird.
Isn't tacos like a, that's like a North Dakota, like Minnesota type thing, isn't it?
It sounds like it would
probably
be.
Probably. Yeah. My wife's from the Midwest, and every now and again when she's not thinking about it, she says tacos, and I go like, wait, I just laugh at it. She goes, what? I said tacos. Like it'll, no, you're missing it. When you say it and you're not thinking about it, it's tacos.
All right, so how good do you guys think Tuukka Rask has been, let's say, the past 3 years? Say percentage.
914.
915, 915, 917. That's the last three seasons.
I thought we were all going to guess, but okay.
Oh, well, I mean, Jason, I
don't, no, I don't want to play anymore.
920.
You guys go.
I mean, he literally is just falling off. I mean, by like 5 or 6%, because the year before he was doing that, it was 922. Year before that, 930. Year before that, 929, and then 929. So, and he obviously didn't start playing a ton of games until 2012, 2013. That was when he finally broke maybe he was injured the year before that. But anyway, I mean, he's fallen off to me several percentages into backup quality goaltending the past few years. That's why it's concerning.
The thing is, he usually has bad starts. That's what I've noticed over the last few years. All of a sudden, like in the beginning of the season, Boston's, you know, they seem a little bit lost. They're not quite there. I mean, they don't usually jump out of the gate really high up there. And Tuukka Rask is kind of a part of that as well. He tends to solidify things as the season moves along. He usually gets a little bit stronger down the stretch. So, you know, if he can solve the bad opening part of the season, the first 20 games, if you can kind of really hunker down and be prepared for it, I guess, be in game, you know, mid-season form at the beginning of the season, that would probably go a long way to kind of help those numbers out. But I mean, he is a good goalie. He's very underrated in a lot of aspects, where he's often overlooked as a good goalie. But I mean, he's a solid starter. He's someone that gives you that chance to win. He can play, and there's just a little bit of inconsistencies from time to time, but a lot of goalies have that. Holtby had that last year.
I mean, but that's concerning. 3 years in a row.
But they're not awful years. Like 915, 917 save percentage isn't awful. It's not elite, but it's not awful. And he still won 37 games 2 years ago and 34 games last year. And his record was very good. And I know that's team-based, but he's still getting it done enough to win his team games. I mean, he's not among the elite, but you don't necessarily need an elite goaltender to win. And even for Tampa Bay, who we talked about yesterday, Vasilevskiy was great for the first half of the season. And then for the second half, he was not good at all. He still got a Vezina nod because of the midseason rankings. But, you know, I mean, it's in the same page for him. I think Tuukka Rask, at least you have a history of, you know, that this guy's been consistently good or at least average for his entire career, including the last three seasons. And then you look at a guy like Vasilevskiy and you say, yeah, he was really good. He was really good in the playoffs. But there was this time here where he just wasn't that good. And that was just like first full season. So do we know if he's going to be able to do that again?
And it always cracks me up whenever I trash goalies, because I look at it and I'm like, you got to be critical because those are just the numbers that are expected. But it's like you're talking about 2% points between 92% and 90%. Like you got an A minus instead of an A.
Yeah, when you go 91.5 is bad, but 92.0 is amazing,
right?
Immaculate. And you're like, all right, well, that's 5/1000.
That's just the way the NHL is right now, though. That's how much of a small margin there is between good and great.
Yeah.
So that's my concern. They were 1 point behind Tampa and then got smoked by them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, and I feel like going into the season, that's my trouble is the goaltending.
Yeah, I mean
a lot of young players too going into that playoffs.
Do you guys want to talk about Bergeron? Is he going to win another Selke?
Oh,
or,
of course.
Or be up there in the running again every year, right?
He could miss the entire season and he'd still win that trophy.
He'll be up there, yeah. If he plays at least 60 games, he should be up there.
He's not going to China. I think it's preseason that they're going out there, but he's not going. The hope is he's got a groin injury or something like that. So they say they're optimistic he'll be ready for opening day, but they might miss most of the preseason for him. So we'll kind of see how he is out of the gate too.
I mean, he almost had the hat trick of Selkies until Kopitar came in and was like, no, I'm going to get one this year.
Oh, yeah. And I saw another thing with Marchand down there. He's one away from, oh, God, what was it? It was like a lick trick. I think he's got to get one more lick in, and then he's got three licks on his record. So they call that a lick trick.
What's the over under? He's going to do that again this year.
I don't think he will.
No?
I think he will.
No. He's an idiot. You know
yeah, he's but he's been told by like everybody now, not, like, even his own team, like cut it out.
I don't think he even cares.
Char's like, I will smash you if
yeah,
you do that.
I think he's going to go, I'm sorry, my 85 points that led the team and 51 assists are
I can look
enough.
Over the
where I want. I'm Brad. This is Brad's world. You're all living in it.
He's such a weird guy to like have that be a thing, to go up and lick somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did nobody just beat the shit out of him for doing that?
Can't catch him.
Rats it's just like, he did that close.
Who did he lick, though? He didn't lick like any like big guys, did he?
He's licked this one dude twice on Tampa Bay. Who was it? Was it Sergachev?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I'm looking it up.
Because I did it once in the regular season. He did it once in the playoffs. And I think it was Sergachev. And what was funny is Sergachev just licked him, and he just did
he
not react to it.
Ryan Callahan.
Oh, that's where he lost
and Leo Komarov. He licked
Komarov,
both of those
that
guys.
Was it. Okay. Yeah, and I think it was Komarov twice. Komarov is like, oh. He just didn't react to it.
I don't know how Ryan.
Some people just don't know how to react to that.
I mean, I would literally want to just beat the hell out of him right there. Like, what are you licking me for?
It's like being spit on. It's the same
and
thing.
And it's like he got mad because he got smoked by a hit. And so he goes up and licks Ryan Callahan in the face during
right
the playoffs.
Off the nose.
In the playoffs. You're going to lick a guy in the face.
That's like Lance Stephenson blowing on LeBron James' ear, but like 10 times worse.
That's so much worse.
Did you just quote basketball?
It's just, yeah.
Right, that was like the most comparable situation.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, even then, that's just silly, but licking somebody, getting in their freaking nostril.
Did Char really go after him for licking people?
Probably.
No. I know for sure the office sent out a memo to him, or the team was like, listen, you got to stop that. But I don't know. He just doesn't strike me as a guy who's ever really going to care that much. Like,
he'll
I
find
think
something
he'll,
else.
He might do that. He might get creative with how he annoys people.
Well, he also kissed somebody, remember? He kissed and licked. I think it was like two different things, right?
Yeah. Oh,
but he admits he went too far with the licking incident. So let me say this. Tyler Seguin. Doesn't fit our culture in Boston, but Brad Marchand loves to lick and kiss people on the mouth during playoff games. He fits our culture.
Yeah. I think Tyler Seguin was like an off-ice thing because he was apparently partying, but they just won the cup, so I don't know.
Hey, man, suck it, bro. I'm partying. Leave me alone.
When I think of Boston, I think of men licking each other.
Yeah, totally. That's like the last thing that any Boston fan is going to be accepting of is another man licking another man they're going to be pissed about.
Yeah. How do you like them apples? Yeah. There
you go. I got to get the cocky so I can go watch Brad lick somebody.
I wonder if there's going to be a Vegas. You know how they have those like weird side bets, like for the Super Bowl. Oh. Like, what color is the Gatorade that they pour on the coach at the end or whatever? You can bet on that. I wonder if there's one that's like, hey, if he's going to lick somebody this year, the regular season.
All right, so let's do it right now. Let's do it right now.
Yeah, over, there you go. Prop bet. That was
over one. Under. Let's give it 60 games. Does he lick somebody?
No.
What are we betting?
We're just going to bet if Brad Marchand does.
Just one lick.
Six beers.
Six beers.
A whole six.
I'll buy you a six pack.
Okay.
If you're right.
Yes, I feel he will within 60 games. Here's why. Here's my thinking behind it is because most of the time it happens. It almost seems like something he just thinks of on the spot, and it just happens. Like he just immediately does it. Like it's not quite there. He's there, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to do this to piss him off, and that's just his go-to. And I feel now it's just a knee-jerk reaction he'll have. Like I don't think he'll mean to do it, but he'll just end up doing it.
Eddie, do you think he's going to do it or no?
I don't think he's going to do it. I think he's been told by enough people like in the team. I don't think he cares what the NHL says, but I think he's probably been told by like Char and a couple, you know, probably Bergeron and other guys saying, "Hey man, like cut this out cuz we can't play with you getting suspended." So, if you're going to get suspended for licking, like that's ridiculous. So, I feel like he won't do it, but he'll find something else to do. Like he'll probably find something. Yeah. Like I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be something.
Ass grabbing.
Well, didn't he knock out Marcus Johansson on New Jersey by like being a flying missile in his head and say it was an accident?
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to avoid a hit, so I jumped into his head.
He's got a lot of things that he should probably try to deal with.
If I would have said over or under 60 games he gets suspended, you would say yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For something.
Yeah.
But the lick. Jason took the bet on the lick. So if you lose, you have to give me a six pack.
Oh.
Right. Of not Coors Light, not American beer.
I'll just bring over 18 and just only drink 12, and you can have the rest.
Well, we spent half of Boston's review talking about Brad Marchand and his issues. We could have spent some time talking about how good Pasta's going to be this year. How, you know, how Char is going to hang in there on the third line and let Charlie McAvoy, you know, carry him around the ice.
Oh, Jesus.
But instead, we talked about Brad. Thanks, Brad. We appreciate you. I know you're listening to the show.
Yeah, yeah. Longtime friend of the show.
Where do you guys have him finishing? I feel like Eddie already released that information when we started.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm finishing first.
Jay?
I think they'll... It's really tough. Once again, I think those top three are all kind of clustered together, but I think they still hold on to that second spot. Yeah.
I have them third.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be strong enough to finish there. I think there's another player that changed teams. He's a franchise player, and now he's playing for a Canadian team. They're going to be better, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But you know where to find us, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Puck Guys Podcast. We appreciate you guys for listening in on our 31 and 30. That was the Boston Bruins. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we'll see you guys then.